2,500 vehicles to choose from.
That's a lot of treats.
A great selection of used cars from $29.88.
You can buy with as little as $88 down.
We have payments from $88 a month.
Get more savings with the McGrath Used Car Campus.
And more selection in beautiful Hiawatha.
From Acadias to Accords.
Camrys to Caravans, Yukons and Sierras.
Used trucks and SUVs.
From $99.88.
Even if your credit's a little scary,
get more credit with McGrath.
We have banks and lenders knocking down the doors for your business.
Nobody works harder to help you get approved.
Get more at the McGrath Used Car Campus in beautiful Hiawatha.
Minutes from anywhere. I-380 and Boyson Road.
Log on McGrathAuto.com. Click specials.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Come grow with us. Frontier Co-op is growing and looking to hire team members at all our locations within minutes of Cedar Rapids. We have open positions in our operations department, quality control, and marketing. Frontier Co-op offers great benefits, including subsidized on-site childcare. Go to frontiercoop.com to view our current openings or see us at the Corridor Career Fair on October 25th at the Cedar Rapids Marriott from 3:30 till 6:30 p.m. Frontier Co-op is hiring now and is an equal opportunity employer.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then stop in and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
9:12 on the Saturday Morning Coach's Corner program here on KGYM, 1600 AM here today. Busy day. We've got football coming up at 10:30, Oklahoma at TCU. We'll have that for you on our FM signals. And also coming up a little bit later on, it'll be Game 7 between Milwaukee and the Dodgers. We've got that coming your way tonight for you here on 1600 AM. We've got UNI football on the FMs as well at 3 o'clock. Homecoming up in Cedar Falls as UNI will be in action against number 2 rated South Dakota State. So number 1 rated North Dakota State a couple weeks ago, and number 2 rated South Dakota State coming into the Dome today. And speaking of the Dome, that's where our next guest is hoping to end up here very soon. And that is Brian White, the head coach of the Kennedy Cougars. Kennedy got the victory last night over Burlington and got home in decent time. So, yeah, win-win.
Nice. It was kind of nice. Usually you expect to get home from Burlington somewhere in the a.m., but we rolled in about just slightly after 11, I think. You know, the continuous clock helps out, and that makes the second half go a little faster. We didn't have a sophomore game last night, so we started at 7, and, of course, we ran the ball, and they ran the ball, so that makes the clock run all the time, and so it was a fast game, and we liked the outcome, so it was a good night for us.
Yeah, and you got home, or you had started the game at 7 o'clock, yeah, so it was kind of a throwback to the 1 o'clock college football days that you enjoyed.
You know, it seems weird, too, because there wasn't a sophomore game, so it kind of had, you know, that playoff feel. You know, our kids are out there early throwing the ball around in their game pants and go back in the locker room and pad up and come out for the pregame, so, you know, it was a good atmosphere, and it was good for our kids, and you know, we brought some of the sophomores with us because they didn't have a game, and so we had a full sideline, and it was a good night.
Very good. And did you have a chance to get some of them in a little bit anyway?
No, we played all of our, you know, our normal varsity kids. We made sure they got plenty of playing time, especially in the second half, those seniors that, you know, give so much for the program and don't get a chance to be on the field all night long. They got some extra playing time last night, and that's nice to get them out there. And you know, when you're at the end of the game and it's a continuous clock, you really have to work hard to figure things out, because that clock ticks by so fast, and you want to make sure you get the kids in. So we got the kids in that deserved the extra playing time, and so again, that made it even that much better of a night.
Brian, first of all, let me congratulate you and your staff and your team on getting back to the playoffs. I know that it's Kennedy's expectation that they're there every year, and that you've had to sit and watch here for a little while. So it's got to be good to get back. Before we get into next week, just can you give us a real quick sketch of this Burlington running back? We've watched him with these crazy stats all year long in quick stats. And, you know, Burlington as a team hasn't had great success, but he, in my opinion, and I've never seen the young man, but he has to be a story.
He definitely is. And, you know, we've had the opportunity to play against both of the top backs in the state, with Simmons over at Prairie and then the Harris kid down at Burlington. And they're two totally different backs. But I'll tell you this about the kid down in Burlington. You know, you watch film on him, you watch film on anybody, and, you know, seeing him in person is always different than seeing him on the video screen. And the kid can run. He's a fantastic running back. He runs hard. He hits the holes fast. He gets through the smallest of holes. And we our defense is a gap-controlled defense where we plug up gaps. And there were times that there was just nothing there, but he just kept his legs churning and ended up squeezing through and picking up 6, 7, 8 extra yards. And, you know, he ended up with quite a few yards last night. And, you know, some of them were in the second half against, you know, our backups. But in the first half, when our starters were in, you know, he had about 100 yards, maybe a little under in the first half, and a couple of touchdowns. And, you know, he's just a hard-running kid. And you're right, they don't have a whole lot besides him. And so, you know, I'm not sure he didn't have the ball 50 times last night. But he's a good running back. And, you know, when you compare him to Keegan over at Prairie, Keegan's just a, you know, a hard nose, I'm going to bang it in there. You know, this kid is definitely a kid that has the ability to play at the collegiate level. What level, I don't know, but I certainly hope he does.
Yeah, and yeah, the thing with Burlington is they just don't have enough to go around with him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way they've been the last handful of years anyway. But you know what? They got great facilities down there. You guys got to enjoy the waterfall last night and the big screen. And
it's not often on a kickoff you tell the refs, hey, we're going to defend the waterfall. You know, so that's what we did at the beginning of the game. We said, you know, you defend one end, we're going to defend the waterfall. The ref kind of got a chuckle out of that. So you don't say that too often.
You made it as simple as possible for your captains.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Kick it that way.
Yep.
But. Well, what went well last night for the Cougars?
Well, you know, our offense, you know, played dynamite last night. Coach Knock, you know, was running our offense this year, and he did a great job of preparing the kids and then calling a great game. You know, Coach Maiman, our offensive line coach, had our offensive line going. I think we ended up with right around just a little over 400 yards rushing last night. So that was obviously clicking for us. You know, Coach Crawley with the running backs and Coach Ernst with the receivers. And those guys have done a great job of molding this offense throughout the year. We really didn't know for sure what we were going to have going into this, with the exception of maybe our tailback Heron. And they've morphed into something now that is a pretty good offense, I think. And so they did a great job. We ran the ball. We threw the ball a little bit when the game was still, you know, intact. We threw the ball 4 times, I think, in our first 4 series and completed all 4, which is a big thing. You know, we went with a different quarterback last night. We started Max at quarterback, and just because he is a run-pass threat, you know, when you have what we've learned in a hurry, especially with, you know, watching Burlington with or Bettendorf with Carter Bell, is if you have a quarterback that can run as well, now you're defending 11. And so we needed to get that aspect in the game a little bit. And he's been rotating a lot at quarterback throughout the year, but we kind of went with him almost exclusively in the first half and moved the ball real well. Receivers blocking downfield, offensive line getting off the ball. So we're really happy with our offense. Caron had ended up with just under 200 yards, so that puts him over 1,000 for the year. I think Max had right around 100, so that puts him over 600 for the year. You know, Cade Parker had some runs. Jay Ostendorf had a big touchdown run, almost 70-yard run. Brantley Koski had some runs out of the backfield. So we've got some guys back there, Shamarian Graham, that can run the ball. And then, obviously, Max at quarterback and tailback. So we're really pleased with our offense last night.
You know, your defense has just been rock solid all year, and you're back in your wheelhouse. Look, every time we've called a Kennedy game this year, I've said to Scott during our commercial breaks, I think Brian's feeling pretty comfortable being back with his old defensive coordinator hat on. And, you know, there's so many guys that have just been standouts for you defensively. Of course, Cade Parker's just been tremendous again. But Ostendorf's been in there, and it's just been a real cast of characters. And you've been bringing guys from all directions. I got to think that any team that you match up with here is going to – they're going to have to scratch their head on where – not only how are they going to attack you, but where are you going to be attacking them from?
Yeah, it's fun being back on the defensive side. It allows me to be me. You know, I can be a little more energetic and a little more emotional than you can be as an offensive guy. You know, those offensive guys, I say that now because I'm not one anymore. You know, they have to think ahead so much, you know, two or three plays, and I'm a reaction guy. I want to make a reaction. I want to get excited. And I'll be honest with you, last night the halftime was a little exciting in the locker room because we'd given up a couple of scores, and I know the kids weren't happy about it. I wasn't happy about it, and we had a good halftime session, just me and the defense in the locker room where the rest of the guys stayed outside. And we got her straightened away right away. And part of the problem was, you know, how we were playing, and part of the problem was what we were calling. And so we adjusted in the second half, made a great adjustment, and then basically locked them down. I think they had negative yards until we started putting our reserves in. And I say this all the time, but, you know, I'm a risky kind of guy. I like to send people. And, you know, sometimes you're going to give up some yards when you do that, when you take risks. But I want to get to a quarterback, and I want to hit the quarterback. And, you know, obviously we don't want to hurt anybody or do anything cheap or late, but we want to get to the quarterback, put him on the run, force bad throws. A long time ago, the defensive coordinator at Nebraska, his name's Craig Bohl, you know, I was talking with him, and he said, hey, if you can get a quarterback to throw the ball in under 2.4 seconds, you're gonna win defensively. And so that's kind of our goal, get that quarterback, get the ball out, or put him on the turf. And so we're going to blitz a lot. And that's why maybe we give up a little more passing yards than maybe some people would like to see. You know, we give up 100 passing yards, but then we only give up maybe 40 or 50 rushing yards. So we play good run defense. So, yeah, I love being back on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Coach Frederickson, our defensive line coach, does just a masterful job with our D-line. And we're not very big. You know, we like the 200-pound kids that can run because we're an angled defense and we need kids that can run. He does a great job, Coach Ernst, with our DBs, who's been there, you know, 31 years now this year. He's been there a while and does a great job with the DBs. And then, you know, Coach Crowley with our hybrids. And I'm doing the inside linebackers. I'm really lucky. I have just unbelievable talent. You know, you mentioned Cade Parker, who's just a first of all, he's a fantastic young man. He's a really good kid and a smart kid, fast kid, strong kid, nasty kid because he's a wrestler and he's got that mentality. And
emotional.
Emotional, yeah. He is an emotional leader, and he'll let you know what he's thinking, too. He lets me know what he's thinking, and I like that. That's the kind of kid I like. And, you know, Jay Ostendorf, who's kind of the same type of kid, another wrestler, tough kid, you know, hard-nosed playing kid. Reese Modernach is a linebacker that didn't play a lot for us last year, but is just he's a physical kid that runs well. And then I can bring in a Shamarion Graham as a fourth linebacker, which is what we went to last night. We ended up with a diamond. We stole a page out of City High's old book.
And Sabres diamond.
Ran a diamond defense last night with Cade Parker at free safety in that diamond and then shut down the run. And so bring in Shamarion Graham, who's our starting fullback, and I've got four athletes on the field that can run and that can tackle. And it's a nice thing to have. And so, yeah, I'm loving the defense. It's a good match right now with Coach Knock, you know, and the offensive coaches calling the O, and I don't have to worry about that, and I can just be – and it helps me manage the game a little bit easier too, especially manage the clock in the offensive scenarios where we want to run. Because we're a clock-running team. If that thing isn't running, that's not advantageous to us. We want the clock to run, get first down, score a couple touchdowns, go home happy.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of football we hope to play.
Well, yeah, and yeah, looking ahead next year, I don't think anyone's going to wrestle the family block away from Cade Parker next year.
He'll probably have it a little bit, I think, yeah.
We'll see how that plays out, but that's next year.
Yeah.
That's next year anyway. And you mentioned the offensive line, and we knew going into the season that was going to be the bread and butter. That was going to be the guys that were going to get the running game going, and they've done a terrific job. Had an injury in there, and
yep.
He had to move some things around, but still they've been as good as advertised.
Yeah, and you know, we have a couple of seniors that have done a fantastic job, Noah Glady and Zach Ender, and then Nolan Jacobs, who's a junior at guard, who's just, you know, he's just an animal. He's a real goofy kid, but he's also a kid that is not afraid to hit you and not afraid to let you know after he hit you that he hit you. And then, you know, we had an injury with Josh Viss, so we brought up another sophomore. So we have two sophomores on the right side of our offensive line. And Connor Colby, who's just a mammoth individual for being a sophomore. You know, he's 6'6", 275, 280. And he's really going to be a good offensive lineman. And then we brought up Gavin Bascom to play guard for us. And, you know, he's 6'2", 235, 240. So he's the smallest one now of our offensive linemen, but plays really, really hard. And, you know, when you look at our line, we have two sophomores, a junior, and two seniors. And then, you know, with Viss being just a junior as well, we're pretty young, but we run the ball. And, you know, that's a credit to, you know, obviously Coach Maimon and what he does with those offensive linemen. But, you know, we're happy with what we do on the offensive line. And then, you know, we have a couple tight ends and Cody Fluhop, who's just a junior, and Cam Jones, who's the senior, and those guys, you know, rotate at tight end. So they do the job we need them to do. It's not always fun just to block, you know, with our receivers and our tight ends. But, you know, at the end of the day, if we have more points, then it's worth it.
And everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy, including the coaches.
Well, you probably stayed up through the evening last night and waited for the brackets to come out. And happy? What do you think? You're always happy getting the playoffs, yeah. No doubt. Familiar opponent with Coach Hartwig and Iowa City West, and you don't have to travel 2 hours. That's a good thing too, I guess.
No, not at all. And about 3 weeks ago, I built an RPI on a spreadsheet and started plugging numbers, and so we had a good idea, and our RPI sheet was pretty accurate too. So last night on the way home in a 2-hour trip, what are you going to do? We went through all the scores and plugged in everything. So by the time we got to Cedar Rapids, we unofficially knew exactly what was going to happen. We knew that we would be in. We knew that we were going to be the 13th seed, but you just don't know what the state's going to do because, you know, they say we're going to do this, but we reserve the right to do that, you know, with geography. And so we thought we would probably play Iowa City West, but you just have to wait until you hear from the state. So happy, very happy. You know, Iowa City West is a fantastic team, fantastic program. Coach Hartwig and I both started the same year as head coaches, and our first games were against each other. And we play them every summer in 7-on-7 at Kingston Stadium. And, you know, they have good kids, and they have a great coaching staff. And I have a ton of respect for Coach Hartwig, and he's a good person. And looking forward to playing them. And, there's games where you line up against teams and you know it's going to be nasty and there's probably going to be some dirty stuff happening, and that's just not going to be the case with us in Iowa City West. It's a good rivalry. It's a fun rivalry. You know, they've gotten the best of us the last 2 years, which have cost us our playoff spots the last 2 years. They've beaten us, and they've been in the state championship game the last couple of years. And looking forward to going down there. You know, we're familiar with that, and it's a short trip, so hopefully we can get some people to go down there and support us.
And I would counter that with Kennedy's been to the state championship game, too. So it's going to be a great matchup with two teams that are very tradition-rich. And as you look at this matchup with the Trojans, Brian, what kind of things are of concern to you that you and your staff have really got to use this full week to get your team prepped up for? Know they've got a great offense. Know that they don't really have one star per se. They got all kinds of weapons that they like to spread the ball around to. But you tell us what you think at this early point.
You know, I've watched them a little bit because you do that when you're watching other teams that you're playing. You watch who they're playing as well. So I've seen Iowa City West a few times earlier in the year, and the guy that jumps out at me is the sophomore quarterback, and we saw him a lot this summer, the Morgan kid, because he's got a gun. The kid's got a heck of an arm, and he can run too. And I'm familiar with him because, you know, youth sports, and I have a son that's his age, and you see him in all the sports. And so I've been watching this kid since he was 8 years old, and I know what kind of fantastic athlete he is. And we've got to figure out a way, number one, to get to him, and then number two, to not miss him because he can run too. And so I think he's good. The other quarterbacks also, he throws well, and we saw him this summer. And I know their receivers can go up and catch the ball. They didn't drop anything this summer when we were playing 7-on-7. So, you know, defensively, we've got a number one, we've got to get some pressure on the quarterback when they're throwing the ball. Number two, we've got to take care of their power run offense because you're right, they don't have one superstar running back, but they do have one very big running back that can pound it in there. And so we're going to have to make sure we take care of gaps. We're going to have to be very fundamentally sound on our assignments. You know, when you're in the final 16, when you're in the tournament, your kids have to be spot. You can't afford to make mistakes. And so, you know, if we got a linebacker that's supposed to scrape and he doesn't scrape, they're going to exploit that. So defensively, we just have to make sure we're doing our jobs. You know, offensively, it's no surprise we want to run the ball. Last year, when we went down there and played against them, they did a good job of stacking in the box. We had to throw the ball a little bit. You know, this year we may not be able to throw the ball quite as well as we could last year. So we'll figure out some different things. You know, maybe try to get the edges a little bit with our receivers and jet sweeps and just our power run game. But you know, it's going to be a good matchup. And as I said, you know, earlier, when you're in the playoffs, it really comes down to who executes, who does not make the mistakes, who does not turn the ball over versus who does. Special teams are always a huge part of the game too. You know, one kickoff, punt return, punt fumble, you know, missed extra point. You just can't make mistakes. And I really have a feeling that this game will come down to who makes the fewer mistakes and obviously who executes.
Yeah, on the other side of the bracket, PV and Bettendorf. So Eastern Iowa teams played yep. Bettendorf.
Yeah.
I know you'd like to have another shot at Bettendorf.
Absolutely.
if you possibly yeah. could.
When I went ahead and told the kids unofficially when we were got back to school last night that, you know, it looked like we were probably going to play West, and then it looked like Bettendorf and PV would be in our bracket as well. And the kids let out a huge cheer because, number one, they want to play the rival Iowa City West. And then, number two, you know, if we are fortunate enough to get a W in that game, you know, we get another shot at possibly at Bettendorf, which, you know, we played really well in that game until we got close to the goal line. And then we had turnovers and things like that. And so, you know, it's a great scenario for us. It's the one that we wanted. We don't have to travel 2 hours out west to the Des Moines metro area, which was definitely a possibility. We thought the dome might have been a possibility too with CF, and so we're definitely excited and know we got a tremendous task. We downloaded, you know, 7 videos Iowa City West last night. I'm sure coaches are breaking them down as I'm speaking right now, and you know the kids will be ready to go. And the nice thing is this is our first time back in the playoffs where you didn't play on Wednesday. You know, the last 2 years. They've been Friday games. Well, you know, we got beat in the last game in the last 2 years and didn't make the playoffs. So it feels like we've got all this time to prepare for Friday now because we're normally, you know, playing on a Wednesday game. So that's a nice little luxury to have that we have a couple extra days to prepare.
Yeah, haven't had that that experience yet. So yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be good. Yeah. And what sophomores end up this year in the freshmen and all?
So our sophomores were 4-4. And, you know, a couple real close games could have gone either way. We lost a game with Bettendorf because of the storms, the monsoon we had that night. So, you know, that could have probably gone either way, too. So, you know, and then we had a few sophomores up with us. So we're happy with our sophomore group of kids. A lot of talent in there. A lot of them are practicing. 22 of them are practicing with us right now to get better, to get a little experience. The freshman group, I'm not exactly if they played. I think they're 4-5. And so, you know, there's some talent in that group, too. Our eighth graders at Harding, Franklin, Taft, we keep a pretty close eye on those kids. And our eighth graders are a pretty good group. And our seventh graders, I believe, at Harding were 4-1. And so we've got a lot of kids in the program that we're excited about and just got to keep developing them and keep them playing football. That's the key right now. And as I talk to coaches across the state whenever we go anywhere, you know, Coach Swenson over at Valley made the comment that their numbers are down too. They had the smallest sophomore group they've ever had, and he's concerned about numbers. And when Valley's concerned about numbers, you know, now mm-hmm. you're talking. And so we have to figure out a way to keep kids out for football, and that's every school in the state of Iowa. And that's, you know, you spend more time with kids, you develop relationships with kids, and you let them know that they're needed within the program and what football can do for them later on in life and benefit them as a productive citizen. And so it's my job now to, you know, once the season winds down and once we get in December, is just start recruiting freshmen, sophomores, seventh graders, eighth graders, get out to different junior Cougar stuff and make sure that coaches or that the kids see the coach there, you know, looking at them.
Brian, before we let you get back to your staff and team and planning for the first round matchup with Iowa City West, I want to throw out just a couple of issues, and feel free to answer or not answer them as you will, but one of the things we always enjoy about talking to you is your candor, your logical common sense, and so I'm just going to throw them out while we've sure. got a chance. And one of them is that some people are saying that there's just a real disparity in 4A in the West and the Eastern half. 10 of the 16 teams that qualified are from the West, basically. Some are saying that maybe the best 4 or 5 teams in the state come from the Des Moines area. I don't know if that's true. true. I'd like your take on that. And then also, while I'm throwing out controversial topics, tell us what you think about the first go-round, to this point anyway, of RPI.
Well, let me talk about the RPI one first.
I thought you might.
Here's what my take on the RPI is. And I told our AD, Aaron Stecker, this the other day. I said, as it sorts out, I think going forward, if we're going to use the RPI as a tool for playoffs, you need to do one of two things. You need to either go the Southeast Polk route and put the top four 4A teams on your schedule right off the bat. And even though you might lose them, you have that ranking behind you, and then you can go 5-4 and 4-5 in the playoffs. Or you put all dogs on your schedule and you win them all. You don't want to put a couple of really good ones and then a couple of so-so ones on there, because one thing I noticed right away is, number one, we don't have control over our opponent's record. Right. And that's what was hurting us earlier in the year. That's what was putting us on the bubble, and we have no control over that. What we have control over is our wins and losses. And so, you know, when you're looking at, you know, after next year, we'll start looking at building our schedule again. We're going to have to decide, and that's after we get our district. Once we look at our district, okay, do we want to load up with the best possible teams, or do we want to go with, you know, maybe the teams that aren't quite as good? And then, you know, you're still at the state's mercy. They're still going to be the ones to decide who you are playing. And so it's a really difficult thing. The bottom line is, and I learned this in a hurry way back when I was just a fresh coach at Wash, you know, PJ used to say, the easiest way to deal with it is just win your games. You win your ball games, and then you don't have to worry about anything else. Just go out and win. Well, it's pretty competitive, you know, in football these days. So I like the RPI. I like the idea of the RPI. I just think that if you really think about it, you can manipulate it a little bit by who you want to play. And so, you know, and not to take anything away from them, we didn't play them this year, but you look at a team like Davenport North, who was right up there in RPI the whole time, and they dropped their last three games, and you just think, well, if Southeast Polk played Davenport North, Southeast Polk being 4-5 and Davenport North being 5-4 right now, who do you think would win? And I'm not going to answer that question, but I think a lot of people would probably think the same thing. And Southeast Polk's a fantastic team, and so I think they probably deserve to be in at 4-5. So that was the long answer to that question. Mm-hmm. As far as the Western side of the state goes, you know, they play good football over there. And, you know, going over there and playing Valley, and then 3 years ago and playing Dowling, one area that I think they would have an advantage from my standpoint at Cedar Rapids Kennedy High School is the arms race that you've seen in the NFL and at the college level is not the high school level. And we are falling behind. We don't have the facilities. You know, Coach Lewis, our strength coach, and Coach Packabear in our weight room, they do a fantastic job with what we have. But when you compare what we have to what Valley has, what Waukee has, what everybody else has, we're at a disadvantage. And so we have to work that much harder to try and compete with them. And our kids do. They give everything they have in the weight room, on the fields. Our team spent probably 75% of our practices this year at Kingston Stadium, because we couldn't practice on our field at Kennedy because it was a swamp. We would be ankle deep in mud every day. Those schools get to walk right out their back door onto a turf field and have no problem. We have to drive 15 minutes to our practice facility, and then we're not even guaranteed because we share it with two other schools. And that's a huge disadvantage. And I think that, you know, if you want to talk about kids leaving the school district or when people move in, how do you get them to come to your school? Well, you need to have facilities. And I think there are schools in the Cedar Rapids metro area that have done that, you know, and we know who they are. They've invested in facilities, and kids are going to go there. And I hope that, you know, at some point we do the same and level the playing field a little bit. As far as talent is concerned, I think we have talent on this side of the state. Cedar Falls is a phenomenally talented team. Prairie's a talented team. Bettendorf's a talented team. Are they going to compete with the guys on the west side of the state? Well, I think they can. And I think we can, too. But I think to level the playing field a little bit, we need to invest. We need to invest in our kids. We need to invest in our facilities. You know, and I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. I'm one of the few high school coaches that's in the classroom, too. And our football field is also my classroom. I teach more things on the football field, or as many as I do in the classroom. And I teach them about life, and we talk about life lessons. And when you're going out to get a job, if you're in second place, you're unemployed. I can't do that necessarily teaching U.S. history, but I certainly can on a football field. Your job is to be successful, to give everything you have so you get your job. And so, you know, that field is an extension of my classroom. So if I have all this technology in my classroom, why can't I have it on my football field too? And I'm not the only one that thinks that. And I know there are plenty of administrators, there are plenty of parents, there are plenty of people in the community that think that. And hopefully, you know, it'll come to fruition at some point.
Scott, did I say that we enjoyed talking to Brian for his candor?
Absolutely.
There you have
good
it,
answer.
Folks.
Good answer. Good answer right there.
So if I'm employed on Monday.
I think you'll be all right. I think you'll be all right. All right, we'll let you go, and we'll see you next Friday night down at Trojan Field in Iowa City.
Looking forward to it, and thank you guys for all that you guys do for high school football. Obviously, you know, it's a lot of fun when people can't go to the games and they listen to you guys, and I get comments all the time about you guys on the radio and how you are all about the kids and in it for the kids, and certainly I as a coach, and I know many of the coaches appreciate what you guys do as well.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that, and we'll see you next Friday.
All right.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about the brackets when we return after this here on KGYM.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables. You rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind where you have antacids stashed everywhere in case it pops up? You know what I mean. You keep some in your bag, or your desk, or your car, or your nightstand. You have those chalky tablets ready for whenever and wherever heartburn strikes. Well, listen up. There's an easier way to deal with your heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. Kick your antacid habit. It's possible with Prilosec OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Back with you here in the Coach's Corner program on KGYM at 9:41. Coming up on 9:42, our thanks to Kennedy Coach Brian White for joining us. And again, if you missed it earlier on, next Friday night, our first round games here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, plus KGYMradio.com. You can listen on the KGYM radio app as well if you're in Iowa City. We will have West Eye hosting Kennedy at 6:45 next week, and then at 6:45 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, it'll be Solon hosting Western Dubuque. And then we'll have an Eastern Iowa High School football scoreboard show playoff edition coming your way, probably from about 9:15, 9:30 to 11 o'clock. We'll just go till 11 o'clock. We'll give Jeff a little bit of a break after trying to elongate the show last night to get the playoff teams in. The teams itself, John, came in at about, 12:45-ish, 12:50 last night?
I think Jeff missed it by 15 minutes when he signed off.
Yeah, and I don't blame Jeff one iota.
Absolutely. Well done, Jeff.
For signing off. He delayed as long as he could. They were supposed to be out by midnight. And I think there were some upsets last night, and I think they had to go through with a fine-tooth comb and kind of make sure they had all their T's crossed and their I's dotted, and just to make sure everything was all right and come away with it. And a good example I'll give here in just a moment. But those will be our games next week, and let's go over the brackets once again, and we'll go over them a little bit more detail here. 4A, Bracket A, Brian White mentioned Southeast Polk. Rams got in at 4-5. The schedule got them in. Before I get into the 4A, though, let me say this. RPI, it's been bantered about a lot the last 2 weeks. And I told a lot of people that asked me, I said, you can't take it in week 6 or week 7 because they're basing it through your 9 opponents. It's going to change. Everybody just step backs and doing Aaron Rodgers.
It's going to take care of itself.
It's going to take care of itself. And I think it did, especially in 4A. I think he got the best 16 teams in the state, without a doubt, in 4A. And that's what RPI wanted.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. And I think you can go down the line and probably apply that to the others as well. But there is the disparity we just talked about with Brian, that 10 teams from the West and only 6 teams from the East in 4A got in. And the Des Moines area schools kind of got a stranglehold on 3 of the 4 brackets in a sense, Scott.
They do. Bracket A is Southeast Polk at Centennial. And then the winner of that one will get either Prairie or at Johnston. And Prairie last night falling to Cedar Falls in the game to decide that district. Here's the deal with Prairie. If the teams that were favored last night won, Prairie would have gotten a home game.
Yes.
But what happened was that Johnston got a big boost last night from their opponent's opponents. Johnston got a win by Urbandale over Ames. They got a win by Muscatine over Davenport North. And they got a Des Moines East win last night over Indianola, which gave them the boost they needed to get by Prairie in the RPI and get that home game. In essence, that is the 8-9 game going around. So instead of being at home, Mark Bliss and Prairie, they have to get in the bus and go 2 hours to Johnston.
How close was that, Scott? I took out my calculator and I figured it. From the 8th and 9th position, both teams 7-2, Prairie got aced out by 66/1,000th of a point and has to drive to Johnston.
So best of luck to the Hawks. Certainly a chance to take on Johnston and beat them, but it's going to be tougher on the road to do that. So that's bracket A. Bracket B, you've got Ankeny. Which all got everybody messed up because it was first reported last night that Sioux City East beat Ankeny, but Ankeny ended up beating Sioux City East, so had that messed up and had to change that around. So Ankeny goes to Valley. Fort Dodge and Dowling on the other side. So that's what's got people in Central Iowa a little hot at this point, and that is because Valley and Dowling are going to meet in the quarterfinals
again. Valley and Dowling not both going to the Dome this year.
No. So that'll be very interesting. We mentioned bracket C. Cedar Falls will host Indianola. Winner of that one gets Urbandale or Waukee. And you told me, and it didn't really dawn on me until you mentioned it, but Cedar Falls Tigers, and you know, you go 9-0 and you get this advantage, but Cedar Falls probably will not leave the Dome, and they will not leave the Dome as long as they are in the playoffs.
How would you like to play all 4 games on your home field? Well, that's what Cedar Falls gets. Brad Remmer's got to be ecstatic about this.
Yeah, but they're 9-0. So,
and they've earned it. That's exactly right.
So they've earned it there. And then bracket D, we talked about. Kennedy is at West. We'll have that game next week. Winner of that one gets Pleasant Valley or Bettendorf. That's a rematch. Bettendorf won the regular season game between the two. They were not in the same district. And Bettendorf probably be a favorite in that one. So you got to think the Kennedy West winner is going to go to Tuvel again.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out to me here is that Eastern Iowa, Scott, is only assured one spot in the semifinals in 4A.
Yeah. So that's the difference between last year and this year, how it all plays out. So that's 4A. 3A, you got bracket A. This is kind of the Northwest Iowa, except they throw. The first thing about 3A was, and we saw this when we saw the teams that were probably going to make it, was that geographically this is the one class, it made no sense.
It's a mess.
Somebody had to go somewhere and have a long trip.
I really feel for the guys at Boone that had to try and figure this one out geographically.
Yeah, and I think that's why it took so long last night. But Spencer drew the short straw. Spencer's going to have to drive to Norwalk and take on Norwalk. The winner of that one gets either Sioux City Helan or Sergeant Bluff Luton. Now, Sergeant Bluff Luton has the top RPI. This is the other thing that people were a little bit grumbling about last night. 8-1 record. A team with a second RPI is Council Bluffs Lewis Central, who plays
them by 4 touchdowns.
Sergeant Bluff Luton in the first game and won by 4 touchdowns. So, yeah. But that's just the way that the formula goes and who you play and what have you. So, if you have a better formula, come up with it and send it to us and we'll send it to Boone. that doesn't deal with score differentials, by the way. You got to deal that in. But, bracket B, Carroll will go to Lewis Central. And the winner of that one will get either Harlan or Oskaloosa. That's a big trip for Harlan to go down to Oski in that first game. But like we said, there's going to be some big travel nights next Friday. Then you got Bracket C, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow, some way, the Pella Dutch and the Xavier Saints find themselves running into one another, and they're going to do it in the first round this year. And best of luck to Andy Umpton and Xavier on finding enough room in the press box.
Well, the Pella brought this on themselves by their loss in the district to Oski, and then compounding it was their low RPI. That's what sent them to Xavier, Scott.
Yeah, and you saw that 4 weeks ago.
It just, when you looked at the geography, I wasn't, you know, using a Ouija board or a crystal ball or anything like that. I don't have any dog in the race at all, but you could just see the geographical layout saying that Pella was probably going to come east.
And they did. So they will go to Xavier to take on the Saints. And Xavier just, we had all the adjectives last night. Just looks so good all year. 9 games, 9 wins, 9 continuous clocks, and we'll see what they can do in the playoffs. And I will tell you this, Pella will be loaded for bear after what happened last year in the championship game, but we'll see. Xavier's going to be awful tough to beat.
And Dwayne Schulte will not miss confession or mass this week, I promise you that. Yeah.
Clear Creek Amana will go to Decorah. That's a long trip for the Clippers. And the winner of that game will take on Xavier or Pella. Bracket D, the South Gym game coming up on Friday night, 7-2 Western Dubuque at 9-0 Solon. And that should be a very good matchup right there. The winner of that one will get the winner of Waverly Shell Rock at North Scott. You take a look at best bracket out there, and I might vote for Bracket D.
That is an incredible quarter, Scott. I have here in my notes that everyone's kind of expecting a round two showdown between Solon and North Scott. Not so fast. Western Dubuque and Waverly Shell Rock are both worthy opponents and on a roll playing their best football of the year right now.
Yeah, they are. Western Dubuque, their two losses, one pointer to North Scott, and then the loss down at Xavier. And Waverly Shell Rock with only one loss in the year. One of the best players in the state in Mosai Newsom. As they will head down to Eldridge to take on North Scott. So that is 3A. 2A looks like this. Out west, bracket A, you've got Carroll Kemper, who got in at 5-4, but they won their district by virtue of a head-to-head win last night. They will go to number one PCM. That's Prairie City Monroe. Winner of that one will get the winner of West Marshall and Williamsburg. Interesting side note in 2A, you had one district with three getting in. You had the district with Benton Community, Union, and West Marshall. And Union fell last night to West Marshall in that game, which really helped West Marshall's standing a little bit, and I think hurt Union's standing a little bit, but we'll see how it all plays out.
And it certainly helped Carroll Kemple with our 5-4 record get in as well.
Yeah, it did. And so those two winners will meet up. So potentially you can have a pretty long trip for Williamsburg, and they're playing good football right now. They loaded up their non-district schedule, went 1-3, and they've won 6 in a row. Bracket B, Spirit Lake is at Boyden Hall Rock Valley. Winner of that one will get Odebolt Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove at Southeast Valley. They will match up. Bracket C, Union goes to Waukon to take on the Indians, last year's champion. Winner of that game will get either Algona or Crestwood. So you could have a Northeast Iowa rematch, Northeast Iowa Conference teams with Crestwood and Waukon playing in there. Algona lost last night in their head-to-head for the district championship. And then Bracket D mentioned Greene County goes all the way down Highway 30 from one side of the state to Van Horn to take on Benton Community. And the winner of that one will get either Sheraton or West Liberty. And like we said, West Liberty making the playoffs for the first time in decades. So good job by the Comets.
Yeah, and good luck to them. But, Scott, I'd like to make two comments on 2A before we move down to 1A. First of all, you've got an interesting situation in that the number 12 and the number 14 ranked RPI teams did not get in.
Yes.
They were both 7-2, but yet 5-4 Kemper did get in. That's kind of one of the oddities about the RPI system here. And you can't hang your head on it. Even if you're a number 12 RPI, 16 teams go. They didn't go in Clear Lake. The second one is, you know, we got to talk about Mount Vernon just real quickly. How costly was that illegal substitution? Now,
yep.
Ended up 5-4 on the year instead of 6-3. And let's count the other 6-3 teams that made it into a four of them. 4 6-3 teams made it in.
Mount Vernon, I don't know how the math would play out, but Mustangs might have made it if it wasn't for that.
I'm not going to say they would have for sure, but when four other 6-3 teams get in, they've got to kind of be shaking their head a little bit.
Yeah, but still, they did the right thing.
Yes, they did.
With Lance Peterson reporting that. It's
hindsight, you know, what could have been.
Very much so. Very much so. 1A, bracket A, you got West Lyon out at South Central Calhoun. Winner of that one will get the winner of Trainer at West Sioux, the defending champions in A. And you got bracket B, Mediapolis travels all the way from southeast Iowa up to the Dubuque area to take on Bellevue. And the winner of that one will get Pella Christian or Wilton. They will meet at Wilton. Bracket C, Mount Air goes to the I-35 Roadrunners. Winner of that one will get either South Hamilton or Dyke New Hartford. Then you got the Rand McNally Special, bracket D, Sumner Fredericksburg all the way down south of Des Moines to take on Van Meter. That's, I think, the longest trip anyone has to make. I'd have to double-check it. But Sumner Fredericksburg way up in northeast Iowa. They got to go down south of the Des Moines area. West Branch has to go all the way almost to Minnesota to take on Osage. But that's the way it had to be done, I think, with the geography dictating it.
From a guy who spent a lot of time on yellow school buses, I feel their pain.
I feel their pain a whole lot, especially Sumner Fredericksburg. And Butch Peterson's going to have a long time to think about what he's going to call that first play for West Branch.
Two musings about 1A, Scott, before we move on. First of all, Marv Cook and his Regina team going to be sitting home for the first time in how long?
15 years.
15 years, and that tremendous 5 state championships, I think it was, in a row. And then, you know, I'm also going to throw out West Branch. Even though they were not a district champ, they were the runner-up to just a tremendous Bellevue team, they still finished number 5 in the RPI. And I got to think that tough district that they were in, that's just going to – I think they're going to be on a roll, and you better watch out for West Branch.
I would agree. That is Class 1A. Class A, looking at that bracket. Bracket A, Linville-Sully will be at number 1 and unbeaten Hudson. Winner of that one will get either Highland or Durant. Good for those two teams that aren't regulars each and every year. Bracket B, you got Wapsie Valley at Algona Garrigan to take on the Golden Bears. Winner of that one will get either BGM or Edco. And BGM and Edco, both very good stories this year in Class A football. Bracket C, Akron Westfield goes to Westwood. West Hancock will be at Hinton. Bracket D, Alta Aurelia goes to AHSTW Avoca. And the winner of that one will get either North Tama or Newman, and that is setting up to be a massive road trip in week 2, because that is Western Iowa against Eastern Iowa in that one. So, and the thing about Class A, like you mentioned a couple brackets ago, you had some teams that were in the top 16 that did not make it. Belmont Clemmy in a tough district, 3 teams, and they were the odd team out. When all the dust settled last night.
3 quick observations about Class A. You know, we talked about Regina not getting in 1A. How about Council Bluffs St. Albert not getting in A? That's got to be a while going back, too. Secondly, I really like that North Tama draw. Their only loss of the season is to just a tremendous Hudson team. And thirdly, look, we got to talk about Central City, okay? Because you know what's always been on my bucket list is to call an 8-player game. Well, they've got Bosco first round, okay? And that's going to be tough because tradition-rich Bosco, I mean, that's just going to be a tough draw for Central City. But if they can get past the Dons, that sets up a possible rematch with Turkey Valley, and they've got to have good feelings about that. If all those stars align, Scott, we're going to be on a Thursday morning and maybe at 9 a.m. calling a Central City. Now, I know I'm getting the cart way ahead of the horse in terms of being in the dome, but it's possible.
We got a chance there. Yeah, the 8-player brackets. Midland is at Iowa Valley down in Marengo. Winner of that one gets New London or Gladbrook-Rhinebeck. Bracket B, Northwood Kensett will be at Arweva. That is a long trip as well from up by Osage in Minnesota down to West Central Iowa. Newell Fonda is at Southeast Warren. Bracket C, you got Stanton at Exira EHK, Lennox at Fremont Mills, and then Bracket D, as you mentioned, Central City is at Don Bosco And the winner of that one will get either Rockford or Turkey Valley. Congratulations to the Warriors, the fine alma mater of Ryan Schlater, who I'm sure is a happy Rockford Warrior today. Red Rockford Marble Rock, by the way.
Yes, a shout-out. Shout-out to Ryan. A couple things about 8-player. How tough is 8-player? 10 districts, 65 teams vying for 16 spots. 6-3 AGWSR, or as Jeff Johnson calls them, Agweiser. How tough? They could only muster a 29th place in the RPI with a record of 6-3. That is crazy to me. Bracket B, you look at those teams in there, the undefeateds are Arweva and Southeast Warren. But amongst those four teams, only two losses amongst those four teams in that quad. It's just going to be a tremendous tournament all the way around. And you know there's going to be upsets. There always are. But the speculation is crazy right now, and the anticipation for this week is just going to be a lot of fun come Friday night.
Yeah, it will be. It will be a lot of fun, and we'll have the two games. We'll have the Eastern Iowa High School Football Show playoff edition coming your way, and should be interesting. Yes, there were some teams that were in the top 16 that didn't make it, but not many of the top 16, and we knew that was going to happen because there were going to be some districts that weren't going to have stunning records, glossy records. Carol Kemper's a good example, and they edged out another team. So
Southeast Polk.
Southeast Polk, 4-5, but they played a monster schedule at the beginning of the year. And like Coach White said, I think it's showing now that we've gone through this once. Okay, how do you want to attack this? Do you want to play four really good teams, or do you want to play four games you're going to win and then hope you're going to do well in the district?
And every team's got to decide that for themselves along with their staff and their athletic director. But they'll have to go through it again one more year as the home and away next year repeats the same schedule. But you're right. There has to be, I got to think, some tweaks that can be made, even in the RPI and the playoff qualification system. But that's for another day.
Yeah. In 2 years, they'll tweak it. I think the first tweak is obviously a little bit of an adjustment if you play up or down a class and you're not district. I think that's a no-brainer right there. Maybe. And you can't take it down a tenth of a point, but a hundredth of a point or something like that, up or down, depending on, especially when the state is the ones dictating who you play. If you're a 3A and you're playing 4A teams, or if you're a 2A playing 3A and they're tough teams, they got to give you a little bit of leeway there.
No, this is just like NCAA bracketology. There's always the bubble teams that don't get in and cry foul. And I just don't see too many of those in this system. And I'll just throw in my 2 cents worth. I think this RPI has been a welcome change for the playoff system.
I think I would agree with you. I would agree with you. So one time around, and I think for the most part, it did its job. So a couple games coming your way. John and I will be down at Trojan Field along with Jeff Moss. It'll be Kennedy and Iowa City West. And Zach and Gary will be out at Spartan Stadium for Solon and Western Dubuque. Looking forward to the playoffs and hopefully a long run. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, John, thanks. We'll see you Friday.
All roads lead to the Dome, Scott. We'll see you up there.
All right. That's going to wrap things up for the Coach's Corner. We'll get you back to ESPN Game Day coming up here in just a moment.
All across Iowa, you might notice people really smiling.
Good hit, way to go.
Really laughing. Really living.
So good to see you, Grandma.
That's because more Iowans choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health insurance. Our